a great feast, technically called a solemnity, when a great feast falls on a Sunday, the church desires for us to consider the truth of God revealed through this feast. And today is the feast of All Saints, the solemnity of All Saints. And it has been said that the only real sadness in life is not becoming a saint. Oh, for sure, there are lots of different forms of sadness that we experience. Some failures and disappointments we cause. Other sadness happens independent of our having made it happen. But the only real sadness, the only real failure is not to become a saint, not to become the person God wants you to be. Once this is believed, that God has made us purposefully, that God equips us to be able to respond to His love in a way that's in accordance with His creative design. Once we believe this, that we are a child of God, everything changes. Sadness isn't eliminated this side of heaven, but everything changes. A saint is a friend of God. A saint doesn't merely know about God, a saint knows the Lord. A saint doesn't just follow Christ from a distance, but becomes a true friend of the Lord. A saint allows Christ, gives permission for Christ, begs and beseeches Christ to live in him or her. It's what inspires Paul himself to exclaim, "It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me." A saint allows the Lord to dominate one's life to the extent that he truly is Lord, Savior, and Messiah of our life. And when we surrender to God, it's only then that we really find ourselves. We don't lose our personality and our passions, but rather they become fulfilled. The old self-focus, the unsaintly focus, frets unceasingly over power and over pleasure, over wealth, over honor. There's no shortage of this today. And there are moments when the old self still gets the best of me. But the new self, the deepest self, the really real, lets God be God. The biblical image in the New Testament of inviting Jesus into the boat, inviting Jesus into our lives to dwell and to abide there, letting Jesus speak and act with authority in our daily living. That means that we're sincerely seeking to respond to His words and actions obediently and cheerfully. You know, saints are happy, fulfilled, directed people. They are not somber and dour and downers to be around. They're quite the contrary. Take our own Therese. She spent her short adult life, in a convent in northwest France. And yet, talk about a person who was alive with a vivid personality and playful and even a little mischievous. Well, how is this? The closer that God gets, the more we light up from the inside. I was thinking back to the great honor I had of meeting a saint. I met St. John Paul II about 6 months before he died. And he was frail. He was shaking from the Parkinson's. He was quite aged in appearance. And yet when I knelt before him and when I touched his hand, when he looked into my eyes and when he tried to muster a little bit of English to speak to me, it may as well have been a tsunami of vitality and happiness and meaning that just absolutely broke forth from him and flooded me, rendered me speechless. In fact, the Swiss guard had to come over and let me know that my visit was done. Another image comes to my mind, this time from the Old Testament, the image of the burning bush. God's presence in that story from the third chapter of Exodus, it ignites this bush and it burns intensely, but it's not consumed. The saints are like the burning bush. They are on fire for God. They are lit up by God's presence. They are personal and active and vital and happy from this presence and power of God, but they're not consumed. Their personalities and passions are not lost, but fulfilled. They're more radiant. Maybe this is why, I don't know this, we may have some art historians here present, but maybe this is why halos get added to saints. Can't say I've ever really wondered deeply about that. But there's a radiance about them. They don't see the halo. But others recognize something beautifully different. And we want a piece of that. There are so many saints. And wow, are they diverse. We speak of the communion of saints. And in doing so, we're speaking about this tremendous variety of people, a variety of age and background and culture and education. The communion of saints is nothing at all about conformity, everybody looking the same and acting the same and marching the same. No. The saints witness an astonishing variety, tremendously varied. And yet there is one core feature common to all the saints. They're friends of Christ, and they allow Christ to abide with them. There's no one saint who expresses the totality of the fullness of God. All of them, the communion of saints, all of them reflect the fullness of God, collectively. I think it's good to emulate the saints. I think it's good to read their stories. I think it's good to learn their lives. I think it's good to become familiar with their own writings if they've written. And yet the saints are more than heroes. They're our friends. I was thinking back, Jackie Robinson is the baseball player I wanted to be. I wanted to hit like Jackie. I wanted to run like Jackie. I wanted to field like Jackie. I wanted to steal home like Jackie Robinson did. I wanted to lead a team like he did. Jackie Robinson, one of my heroes. But I'm not a friend of Jackie Robinson. The saints are alive. And they're alive in Christ. They intercede for us. They deeply desire to help us to know what they know to be true. The fullness of life for which they've been made and which we've been made, which is Christ Himself forever. The saints are more than just heroes. They're more than just models. They are our friends. That's also what's meant by communion of saints. A personal connectedness we have with the friends of God, if we dare to forge such a relationship. They help us get to know God. It's never about them. It's always about God. All holy men and all holy women, pray for us. Amen.